Yeah, we are family. I got Justin G and me.
How's it going?
Oh, man. Sister Sledge is on the scene. Justin G's up in the house. And we were talking a little bit of Olympics off the mic. So bring us up to date, Mr. G.
Well, yeah, it's been pretty good so far. The USA has done well, but we still trail China by one medal and five golds. China has 17 golds and 30 total medals. The United States has 12 golds and 29 total medals.
Who got in trouble for throwing a match?
There were a couple of people in the badminton.
Yeah.
Female badminton. There was a South Korean team, a Chinese team, and an Indonesian team who were all disqualified for throwing a match, but they threw the match, you know, from what I understand, I'm not a badminton expert by any stretch.
It's badminton, man.
Badminton.
It's bad.
It's not that there was any gambling or anything involved. Basically, they wanted to lose to improve their positioning in the next round.
Yeah, they wanted to play a weaker team.
Right. I think it's like soccer where there's group play and then they go into like a tournament setting. So if they wanted to avoid a certain team, they wanted to strategically position themselves. And we've seen this in American sports and in football and occasionally in baseball or basketball. Like, you get to that last game of the season when a team is, you know, they're probably better off losing to get a better matchup in the playoffs. So they just don't play their starters and they just don't.
Any of those Ron Robin types of tournaments where you win and lose and you stay in the tournament, you might want to lose to one team because if you win, you'll be playing a team that's stronger. And if
right.
you lose, you'll be playing a team that's weaker. So you want to make sure where you are in the seed.
Right. So they were losing a preliminary match in service of winning a medal.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess it's
apparently they
people.
Lost too obviously.
Yeah. And you know what it is? People spend a lot of money on the tickets, and they do.
Yeah.
They do feel the need to sort of entertain, which is really what the Olympics is about.
Yeah.
You know, it's entertainment. And these athletes train for years, and it's really hard because you play baseball, you get hurt, you come back the next year.
Right, you got 4 years.
You got 4 years in the Olympics.
I can dig the strategy. I can dig the strategy, but you still got to give the people a game.
Yeah.
You can't just go down there and lay down.
I guess that's what, yeah. It's a shame, though. I mean, you know, the woman who is the top badminton player in the world retired over this. And she tweeted, Yu Yang from China said, "This is my last game. Farewell, Badminton World Federation. Farewell, my dear badminton." So it's a shame that it cost the sport her top player.
Things are bad in badminton.
Yeah.
What else is
Well, that? The host country and the women's coxless pair, Helen Glover and Heather Stanning, won gold for Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley Wiggins, I think, is the real star of this Olympic Games because he won gold in time trial cycling only a couple of weeks after he won the Tour de France.
Whoa.
He is the first man to accomplish that feat, winning the Tour de France, which is like weeks long and thousands of miles.
Yeah, torturous.
Yeah, and then coming back, 2 weeks later and winning the gold in his home country. That was his seventh cycling medal, and it makes him the most decorated British athlete of all time.
All right, all right.
And, of course, Michael Phelps became the most decorated athlete with 19 medals.
And does he still have a chance to win some more?
I'm not sure. He might, but I kind of think he's done, but he might get one or two more. Still, it's amazing. I mean, but swimming, you know, everyone wants to say he's the greatest athlete ever, and I think before everybody gets out of control, I mean, he's definitely up there. He certainly could be. But the swimmers tend to win a lot of medals. If you look at the list of multiple medal winners, they're almost all swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still, incredible feat by Michael Phelps. Despite the U.S. getting upset in the relay team, Phelps still won another relay, and he won an individual medal. So, good for him.
Yeah, he says that this is it.
Yeah.
He's hanging up his feet.
Yeah. And, again, I mean, 4 years. This is already his fourth Olympics, so that's enough, I guess. But, you know, there are a few athletes that have done well in four Olympics. You know, my favorite is Carl Lewis. I, you know, whenever I think of the greatest summer athletes, Carl Lewis is the guy that jumps out to me. Maybe it's just because when I grew up, but he managed to win gold medals in 4 different Olympics, and I think that was pretty amazing. But you know, Michael Phelps is the best thing we have right now.
Yeah, you know, you got to hand it to him.
Yeah,
you got to hand it to him.
Another thing about the Olympics in soccer that's kind of significant is that Great Britain is competing for the first time as Great Britain. Now, in the World Cup and the Euro Championships, they play as their separate countries. So England plays and Wales plays.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Scotland plays as separate teams. So Ryan Giggs, who's been a superstar for Manchester United for a long, long time, has never played in a major international competition. He's been the captain of Manchester United. He's won everything there is to win at the club level, but because he's from Wales, he's never played in a World Cup. He's never played in a Euro Championship. So now is his chance in the Olympics, and Great Britain is on to the quarterfinals, along with Senegal, Mexico, Korea, Brazil, Egypt, Japan, and Honduras. So it'll be interesting to see if Britain can bring home the gold in sort of a unified team. That's kind of a new era for them.
And the women's soccer team, how
are
they doing?
Soccer, we have USA versus New Zealand, and that's Friday at 14:30 Greenwich Mean Time. The USA women haven't lost, looking pretty strong.
Oh, sookie sookie now.
Now, the USA men, of course, did not qualify for the Olympics in soccer.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But our archery team won a silver medal.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Italy won the gold, USA won the silver, and Korea won the bronze in men's archery. And in women's archery, we had a Far East sweep. We had Korea with the gold, China with the silver, and Japan with the bronze. In the medal counts, after China and the USA, Korea, and then France, and then People's Republic of Korea is 5th in the medal count. And I clicked on that because I was a little curious as to what they excel at. And they have one gold medal in judo and 3 gold medals in weightlifting.
Ah.
It seems that the North Koreans train very hard at weightlifting. And, you know, I just picked one at random. I saw Jong Sim Rim, who won the 69 kilogram, which is the 152 pound weight class. She's 5'4", 150 pounds, 19 years old. She did the clean and jerk, lifting over her head 321 pounds.
Oh!
19 year old girl from the People's Republic of Korea.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, I can't say nothing about that.
Yeah. And looking forward to the modern pentathlon. That's my favorite sport because it's so obscure. Basically what that is, it's a 5-sport competition where it begins with fencing. Every competitor fences each other competitor. And then they swim 200 meters. And then they ride a horse over a jump course. And then they run, there's a combination running and shooting event similar to the biathlon and skiing where they run 1,000 miles and then they shoot 5 targets and then they run another 1,000 and then they hit another 5 targets and they run another 1,000 meters.
Oh, gone.
And that's all in one day.
Oh, so okay. So that, what is
that coming up?
The decathlon, that's one of the final events, right?
Yeah, the decathlon, all the track and field looks like they're saving for the end. We haven't really had much track and field going on. But, yeah, the decathlon is a 2-day event, 10. But they're all track and field events. So we have that going on.
So what's happening in professional sports?
Professional sports? Well, the Mets are continuing their swoon.
You know that's why I asked you.
They won last night. Inexplicably, I was listening on the radio. They were playing San Francisco. The Mets had bases loaded in the 7th, in the 8th, and in the 9th, and they didn't score. They were 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position, and they couldn't do anything with it. But somehow they squeaked out a 2-1 victory. Just barely on the strength of Jonathan Nease's pitching. He's been a great young pitcher for the Mets.
Meet the Mets.
I'd like to see him develop. Yanks are cruising. 61-43. They got a 6.5 game lead. Boston is just stuck in mired in mediocrity. at 53-52.
If Boston doesn't make the playoffs, there will be mass suicide.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs.
You don't understand them folks up there. Man.
No, I know. They get so into it. I thought it was going to be a good year. I'm a big Bobby Valentine fan, yeah. And it seems like he was just a terrible hire for them. It'll get
extremely emotional. They got to make it. They're worse than Yankee fans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Know. Boston is the toughest market because they're under a spotlight. They have so many reporters covering the team.
Yeah.
And the players are like playing in a fishbowl, and it just doesn't seem to be their year. They're not getting the pitching they need.
Their fans give new meaning to fan, word fanatic.
They're 8.5 games behind the Yankees.
Oh, Lordy.
Anybody can make a run. We saw it. Nobody thought St. Louis would even make the playoffs, and they ended up winning the World Series last year. So you never know. I personally think that it's going to come out of the American League West. Texas or the Angels are both – pretty awesome, and Texas got the Ryan Dempster from the Cubs, who is the top pitcher available on the trade market. So they strengthened their pitching staff, and they got a 4-game lead over the Angels, who at 57-48 are a pretty good team. The White Sox have a 2.5 game lead over the Tigers in the American League Central. And then in the National League, those Nationals are for real, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Washington, 61-42. It's the first time they've been competitive as the Washington Nationals. So that's pretty interesting. They have a 2.5 game lead over the Braves. And the Mets are 11 back in that division at 51-54. The Phillies at 47-57 are 14.5 games back. And they became sellers at the trading deadline. They got rid of Shane Victorino and Hunter Pence.
That's another town that's crazy about their outfielders. Team.
Yeah, but you know that the Philadelphia Phillies have more losses than any other franchise in professional sports over history? Yep. Cincinnati has been on a surge. They've won 9 out of their last 10, and they opened up a 3-game lead over the Pirates, who at 60-44 are still an excellent team and still in position for the wild card. But Cincinnati right now has the best record in baseball.
Whew.
Yeah, go Reds.
So what's happening locally?
Locally, well, this past weekend we had the escarpment run. I mentioned that last week. For those of you who don't know, it's an 18.6 or 30-kilometer trail run from Windham to Haines Falls on the famous escarpment trail, which is a hiking trail not normally run on. And it's absolutely beautiful for anybody who hasn't been up there. You can access it from either Route 23 in Windham or from North-South Lake Campgrounds in Haines Falls off of 23A. And it basically runs right along the eastern edge of the Catskill Mountains. And I was out there volunteering at a water stop, and we had to hike in 2 miles with all of our water and food and supplies because the trail doesn't cross any roads.
Man, I got to give you some props.
Yeah, and then we ended up taking a wrong trail, and it ended up being a 6-mile hike, but it was fun. But this trail, this race is so rugged, and it's so out there. You have to qualify to be in it. They don't just let anybody run. You have to be.
I would hike 6 miles maybe to save my life. Maybe.
Well, we wanted to support the runners that are out there because it's a great sport. And, you know, we had a big upset this year. This gentleman, Ben Nephew from Mansfield, Massachusetts, has won the event 11 times. But he did not win it this year. Jacob Loverich from State College, Pennsylvania, won it at a time of 2 hours, 55 minutes, and 47 seconds.
Mercy me.
And, you know, you can't compare that to 18 miles on a road. It's because it goes up and over several mountains, yeah. And it's ups and downs. And it was pouring rain that day, too.
Whew.
I mean, we were soaked. All the runners that were coming through were covered in mud. But they all had smiles on their faces, every single one of them. You know, even the ones way at the back of the pack, we're all having fun. And
you got to love that in order to do it.
Yeah, so I wanted to give it, but it's very difficult, so I wanted to give a shout-out to our Columbia and Green local residents who finished the race.
All right.
We have Dave Vona from Valencia, who finished fourth.
All right.
Yeah, great local showing. Chris Kromacek from Hensonville, Bruce Schenker from Canaan, Hillary Cluse from Hudson, Alana Olmsted from Valencia, Stuart Dutfield from Catskill, Gene Kerr from Catskill, and Drew Hopkins from Hudson. All finished the escarpment run, which had over 200 runners and drew people from all over the place. People came from all over the country for this event. So congratulations to all the finishers. And it was a great day despite the horrible, horrible weather.
And finally, the big bicycle,
yes.
the Tour de Catskill.
The Tour de Catskill, I believe that's how they pronounce it.
A tour of Catskill.
Yeah, no, not the town of Catskill, the region.
The Catskills, man.
Of course. And it looks like a great event. It's going on this weekend, August 3rd through 5th. August 3rd, we have a time trial, Hunter. And then Saturday is a the tour stage in Tannersville, a 62.5 mile, which includes the famed Devil's Kitchen climb, which for those of you who cycle know how hard climbing is. And then the final stage is Sunday in Wyndham, and it looks fun because it looks like they have all different ability levels, different age groups. All competing in the same race. So that's kind of nice. You know, I like sports where you have kind of different ability levels and ages competing in the same meet. I was a rower in college for a brief year. And it was fun because the regattas they have, you know, high school and college and then all the way up to, like, national team kind of professional level. All competing at the same race, you know, in different classes, obviously.
Yeah, that sounds. I used to like to watch when I lived up near Columbia University, and I would watch go out and watch the teams out there working out.
In Baker Field.
Yeah. The rowers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Up on the Harlem River. Right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great sport. I'd like to see more of it here in Hudson.
So, folks, is that a wrap?
Yeah, that's about it for this week.
And you know what we always say, because we Justin and I have been talking about digging up some unusual sports that are going on around. There's a couple of leagues that we're finding out that are located in and around Hudson. I'm going to check out one of them. I understand there's a horseshoe league. I love to find out about that.
Throw some ringers.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up that one. And as we always say at the end of our sports report, please let us know what you're doing out there. You know, if you're doing something in the community. That you want to be reported on, and especially if you're a coach and you've got an outstanding athlete.
Yeah, WGXESports@gmail.com.
There you go. WGXESports@gmail.com. Justin G, that's how it be. Thank you very much, Justin.